This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Last night at the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C., Charles Osgood led a corps of musicians, broadcasters, educators, and fans in a tribute to jazz legend Billy Taylor. Officially, it was Billy Taylor's 80th birthday celebration. It was also a get-well card. Mr. Taylor's recovering from a hospital stay, but listened to the proceedings from his home in New York City. NPR has enjoyed a long association with Billy Taylor, and we're delighted that three of the stars of last night's gala, who also host NPR jazz programs, can join us in Studio 4A today. It's my pleasure to introduce the celebrated pianist Marion McPartland, the host of Piano Jazz. We're also with us the wonderful singer Nancy Wilson of Jazz Profiles and Dee Dee Bridgewater of Jazz Set. She, of course, a distinguished actress as well as a singer. And we're taking advantage of this great studio to invite a live audience to listen in. And as always, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Or you can send us email at totn@npr.org. We'll be talking about jazz and radio and education, but our guests have also agreed to perform for us. So why don't we get started with some music? Dee Dee Bridgewater will lead off, and while she's making her way to the microphone here in Studio 4A, let me introduce her accompanist, Lou Matthews. And Dee Dee is putting her headphones on. What have you got for us?
I've got one flipped over headphone on the right. we're going to do with Lou, who is actually Nancy Wilson's longstanding accompanist, who has agreed to accompany me. God bless him. We're going to do Bye Bye Blackbird. Pack up all my cares and woes. Here I go, swinging low. Bye bye, Blackbird. And when somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, stand in need. Bye bye, bye bye, Blackbird. No one here can love or understand me. And oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. Well, make the bed and light the light. I'm coming home late tonight, Blackbird. Bye-bye. Bed let the scoop me down. I hear that ugly skin blood lumber. Yo, no, no, no. But the lid down, whoa. Scoot up a white skin bleed. But it's not done. I hear that up, Baba. I hear that up, Baba. Baba, 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 no one here can love or understand me. And oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. You better make that bed and light that light, cause baby Lou and I, we're hanging out tonight.
That was Dee Dee Bridgewater, accompanied by Lou Matthews here in Studio 4A. Also with us, of course, Nancy Wilson and Marion McPartland. And while we are thinking about some of the contributions that Billy Taylor, the event for which we were all gathered last night, some of the contributions he made, I was lucky enough to grow up in New York City when Billy Taylor was on the radio every day. And the radio station pretended it was all entertainment, and we knew better. It was education. We were all learning an incredible amount from this man on his radio program. At the same time, Marion McPartland had a radio program on every week in New York City at that time, and proud that I had some very, very small association with it. I used to set up her mics from time to time in the studio. But Marion, I wanted to ask you to begin with to talk about radio as an educational medium. You, too, brought people into the studio and introduced us to people and told us a lot of stuff that we just didn't know.
Well, we're still doing it, you know, Neil. 23 years. And some of it is education, I guess. Kind of not really saying, well, this is supposed to educate you, but maybe it does in a subtle kind of a way, because I always have guests who are, including Billy, who of course has been on the show 2 or 3 times, and just to hear them talk about the tunes that they play, and Bill Evans, I remember, was especially interesting, describing how he would put a tune together and the chords he would use, and I mean, that's really very educational. It was educational to me. I learn a heck of a lot when I'm on the air and have guests like Billy or like Bill Evans.
Nancy Wilson, let me ask you. Your program is really about lives of performers in their own words.
Exactly. And, in their own words and their friends.
I wonder, as much as you've been around the business your whole life, you must learn a thing or two from week to week.
I've learned a great deal. I was surprised at how little I did know, because everybody assumes that because you are in the business that you know all the people and you know these things. I found myself, I would be reading scripts and was like, oh, you know, yeah, I didn't know that, you know. And my face lights up and I laugh and smile. I enjoy this because I've learned so much from doing this program.
And Dee Dee, now that you've managed to come back to your seat here, again, thanks for the tune. And wanted to talk to you also. Do you think of radio as an educational opportunity?
Absolutely. I think it is one of the long-standing tools that we have, you know, to educate people. I've lived in Europe for a number of years, in France, and radio actually in Europe is very, very, very strong, a lot stronger than radio in the United States. And I have to applaud National Public Radio for being there, because it's a lost medium for a lot of people. And I learn a lot when I turn on the radio. You know, and I listen to Marion, or I listen to Nancy's shows, and I love that, because it is nice to get the background about the musicians or the singers, you know, individuals and their lives and how they've come to do what it is that they do. And I'm always very interested when I listen to Marion's show, because I know very, very little technically about playing, you know, and musical structure. But I find that oftentimes I can understand what these two pianists or, you know, these two musicians might be speaking about, just because of the way that Marion presents that. And so, yes, it's very, very good.
Our telephone number again is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our first caller is Mike, who joins us on the line from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah,
this is such an honor. I'm a little short of breath. I'm a big fan of all three of these talented women. I have a special fondness for Nancy Wilson. Ms. Wilson, I first saw you in 1967 on my 18th birthday at the Elmwood Casino in Windsor.
In Windsor.
Area.
In Windsor. I was there.
Yes, I was. You are absolutely there.
I was there watching. I'm Dee Dee Bridgewater. I was in the audience.
Oh, you were there.
Yes, yeah. For my 18th birthday present.
Oh, that is so pretty.
The Elmwood. I don't even know.
At the Elmwood. My parents took me to see you.
Oh.
At the Elmwood. That
wow.
same year. That's
a wow.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Sorry.
I had a question.
I love it.
Greener already gave me some good news. I'm always curious about Capitol Records not being more active about putting your early work on CD. And the screener said that there's going to be a boxed set. I'm wondering if there's any possibility that Hello Young Lovers will be part of that set.
I believe Hello Young Lovers has probably already been re-released.
Let me just pause. The studio audience can't hear the caller's question. So Mike in St. Paul was after some banter about being his 18th birthday at a Nancy Wilson concert. Wanted to know if one particular song was going to be part of a new box set that's going to be issued.
I'm not positive. But I do know that Capitol has re-released a great deal of the albums that I've done. There's already been a 4-box set CD released. There's been Broadway My Way, Hello in a Hollywood My Way. That's been re-released. The Cannonball album, the Shearings albums, both of them.
Those are
so there's an awful lot out there, but this time you will have Nancy's Choice, A Live at the Sands, never been released before, and two other sides. So there you should have your choice on there, I'm pretty sure.
I'm wondering if the Nancy Wilson show will ever be released on CD.
That's probably next.
I think there was a Japanese reissue, but I was never able to put my hands on it.
Yeah, everything was imported there for so long.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm grateful that you... I love Hello, Young Lovers. I think that George Shearing wrote a brilliant chart.
Yeah, that's I have many favorites, but that's my all-time favorite.
All right. Thank you.
I have it on vinyl. I'd love to get it on CD.
Well, I bet you it'll be there soon.
Great. Thank you. This is such an honor. Thank you so much.
Mike, thanks for the call. Nancy, you was talking about your box set. Mm-hmm. At what point in your career do retrospectives start coming out? And is this something you welcome, or does it feel like all of a sudden it's turning another corner?
They've been re-releasing. Record companies do that, you know. I was with Capitol for 20 years, so they have been re-releasing things steadily. Especially after I had left the label for about 10 years. And then I was with Columbia for many years. Mm-hmm. Also a lot of Japanese imports. So I think the first time that I got the message was I arrived at a club and saw the marquee, and it said Legend. I really was crushed, you know. I don't think I was 50 yet. And it was like, you know, I didn't know whether to really be, yeah, I mean, people think that that's, you know, a compliment and you'd be pleased, but I had a hard time with that. I wasn't certain whether I should be thrilled and happy about that. To this day, I haven't quite made up my mind about it.
Our next caller is Timothy, who joins us on the line from Indianapolis.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask Nancy or Dee Dee or Marion if they would comment about where they think Lena Horne's place is among American popular singers. I know she's been extensively honored by her peers, but it seems that today's younger audience probably, I could be wrong, but they seem to think of her more as an icon and don't seem to have fully appreciated her musical works. Mm. And I wanted to see if I could get compliments from any of these three great ladies on that.
Well, let me just repeat Timothy's question for the studio audience. He was asking about Lena Horne's place among American popular singers, Lena Horne's place in history, and Dee Dee Bridgewater. Why don't you attack that one first?
I was going to say I felt that Nancy would be the better person to respond. I think that... it is unfortunate that the recording industry has become a business, mm-hmm. and that their concentration is less on the artistry and the people who gave us the music. Lena Horne, for me and for many people, is that woman is a living legend. Mm. And her music deserves to be out there. I know for a fact that in 96 I had a Grammy nomination and they opted to give Lena the Grammy because she had not received one, and I could not believe that. And I also couldn't understand why they would just put her in jazz vocals instead of giving her a Lifetime mm-hmm. Achievement mm-hmm. Grammy. I don't know what they're going to do about her music at record companies because, as I said, today their concentration is on how much money they can make in the least amount of time and with the least amount of expenditure on their part. So as we get older, we performers, we become, unfortunately, less and less important for the record industry. So I don't know how they're going to do Lena's music.
Timothy, thanks very much for the call. We're visiting with jazz legends, if you will, Marion McPartland, Nancy Wilson, and Dee Dee Bridgewater in Studio 4A.
No. I'm still crawling to get to that level.
And we'll be taking more of your calls at 800-989-TALK. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is NPR's Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're in Studio 4A today, NPR's performance studio, and we're joined by jazz greats Marion McPartland, Nancy Wilson, and Dee Dee Bridgewater. You, of course, are invited to join the discussion. Our telephone number is 800-989-TALK. And we were talking just before the break about the contributions of Lena Horne. And Nancy Wilson, I know you wanted to say something.
I wanted to be Lena Horne. I think Lena Horne was the most beautiful thing. Her whole presentation. I found that as she matured, the voice became brilliant. I mean, the younger Lena Horne, people associate, she was not considered a singer. You know, she was cute. I mean, I've heard that. I mean, I lived with that. You know, Nancy Wilson, she's nice, she's cute, but, you know, I don't know if she's going to last long in this business. Well, Lena Horne has outlasted everyone, and she is one of the most brilliant performers I have ever known. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I really wanted to be her. And it was her look, her whole attitude that kind of made me. I listened to male vocalists. It didn't influence the singing. But the idea of who and what she was something to aspire to be. And she was the best at it. I think she was brilliant. I think that she deserves far more than she's ever gotten. I think it is very tragic about the Grammys. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's horrendous. Mm-hmm. The whole idea. Once I was nominated for a Grammy along with Rosemary Clooney and Tony Bennett, and between us, there was, I believe, one Grammy.
That's extreme.
This was a few years back, yes. Mm-hmm. So being wonderful and being able to know the music and sing the music is not a criteria. So when people ask about Grammys, I really give it little or no thought. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't recognize Lena Horne's lifetime achievement, then they are meaningless to me because they don't know. They truly do not know.
Marion, I wonder if you've had any experience with Lena Horne in your life?
Oh, sure. I've been to hear her many times. And everything Nancy says is true. I think I heard her once with the symphony orchestra, Carnegie Hall, and everything, her looks, her presentation, her wonderful singing, and, even now, just a couple of years ago, she put out a terrific recording. Mm-hmm. She did it at the place in New York, the Supper Club.
Supper Club.
You know.
Yes.
So, as far as I'm concerned, she's still doing it.
Mm-hmm. We're also getting a chance to hear some music from these great performers as well. Nancy Wilson is now going to be up next at the microphone. And again, her accompanist here in Studio 4A, Lou Matthews. We had the piano tuner is still in the audience, so we've spared no expense to make this a perfect broadcast. So next up is the great Nancy Wilson.
The very thought of you makes my heart sing like an April breeze on the wing of spring. And you appear in all your splendor, my one and only love. You fill my eager heart with such desire. Every kiss you give sets my soul on fire. I give myself in sweet surrender, my one and only love. The touch of your hand is like heaven, a heaven that I've never known. And there's this blush on your cheek whenever I speak, and it tells me that you are my own. You fill my heart with such desire. Every kiss you give sets my soul on fire, and I give myself in sweet surrender. You are my one and only love. Lou Matthews on piano. Touch of your hand is like heaven. Oh, heaven that I've never known. And there's the blush on your cheek whenever I speak, and it tells me that you I give myself in sweet surrender, my one and only love, my one and only love. This is for my husband's 60th birthday today.
Nancy Wilson and Lou Matthews, thank you both very much. What's your husband's name?
Wiley?
Burton. Okay. The Reverend Wiley Murray Burton.
And happy birthday. We'll take another call. And by the way, if anybody in the studio audience has a question, just stand up behind the microphone. Okay, why don't you go ahead?
Good afternoon, ladies. You're all so talented and wonderful. Thank you for being here. I have a two-part question. First of all, there's an opinion, it seems to be, that jazz is an acquired taste. It takes years to develop a palette for it. That's the first question. What do you think about that perception? And second, do you believe that anything needs to be done to change that?
Okay. Jazz is as an acquired taste. Dee Dee Bridgewater, when did you acquire the taste?
I grew up with the taste. Mm. I thought everybody was in jazz music. And it wasn't until the 60s that when Motown, I grew up in Flint, Michigan, and when Motown came on the scene and everybody started doing all this doo-wop, I was like, that's cute. So, I can do that. But I thought that every singer scat it. I thought I just thought jazz was it. So I think is it an acquired taste? It depends on one's background, one's education, how one is brought up. Today, it's definitely an acquired taste, I think. For young people, they don't really know what it is. And I think that it is because of people like Marion and Nancy and Billy and all of the wonderful musicians and singers who go into schools and who teach and who give master classes, and which is something that I've started to do, that our youth are being educated, because it's like classical music. It's now an endangered species. Yes. And many children today, if you ask them if they know a jazz artist, their first response, and I love to do that, the first response I get is Kenny G.
We'll just leave that one right there. Marion, you grew up in England.
I know, and people always think because you come from England that you don't know anything about jazz. But the funny thing is, I think they've always had more of an appreciation for jazz in Europe, in England, and in Europe generally, than people here. I mean, I started playing piano when I was about 3 years old, and I guess I heard big bands and I heard everything that was on the BBC, and it wasn't an acquired taste. I just sort of grew up listening to it and hearing records, and I had a boyfriend that brought over all kinds of records to the house, Benny Goodman and Bud Freeman and James P. Johnson. I just learned it, and I thought everybody knew all these people, and I was surprised when I got here, and I was looking for a woman pianist named Cleo Brown, and nobody had ever heard of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I finally did run her to earth, and we had her on Piano Jazz.
Nancy Wilson, yes. Had the word reached Ohio?
Not only had it reached Ohio, it reached my father. My father was the one who purchased the recordings, and so I listened, and I basically heard male vocalists. But I also grew up not just with the big band sound. I grew up listening to Louis Armstrong, Louis Jordan, and the Timpani Five. So I heard, and Tiny Bradshaw. So I got a bit of the R&B mixed with the jazz flavor. So I grew up with it. I mean, I knew who, I think I knew the male vocalist and the R&B, not the Motown sound or anything like that, but B.B. King. I mean, I think I heard that more than I heard Coltrane. So I discovered Sarah, Ella, and Betty Carter, and that they did scat. And then I realized that I was not a scatter, so it kind of allowed me to find my place. And then I saw Lena Horne, and I was just in love. So it was the kind of thing where you grow up, if your parents hear, parents, please, don't allow your 13-year-old to dictate the music industry. I mean, for every dime you give them the money to go out and make this happen, you should go purchase somebody you like so you can kind of equal this. We need to equal this out. We need a little bit of balance going on again. This is not right the way it's going.
Nancy Wilson, Marion McPartland, and Dee Dee Bridgewater, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And our next phone caller is Bill, who joins us on the line from Binghamton, New York.
Hi, how are you all?
Hello.
First, I have to gush. Nancy Wilson, even over a lousy phone line, you are terrific.
Thank you.
I'm not using the word legend here. I think the three of you together make such an enormous contribution to the jazz world and to the public's appreciation of it. I don't think there'd be nearly as many jazz enthusiasts without the three of you.
Thank you so much.
I saw Nancy several years ago in Corning, and all I can say is, what a class act. She was magnificent.
Thank you so very much.
And I will go anywhere to see the three of you.
Thank you.
It is such a pleasure. I have a question about the jazz business. There's been a big concentration of record companies lately and labels, with the consequent cutting of an awful lot of excellent people. I was interested to hear Marion talking about Europe appreciating. Nagelheier in Germany is picking up a whole bunch of terrific American artists that have been cut by American companies.
This
boggles my mind. I know it's a business. I know that the majority of CDs sell fewer than 1,000 copies, and barely make the production costs. But my gosh, you know, it's there are so many great artists. What do you think? What's the answer to making jazz a profitable and sustainable business? Is there a possibility in this day of giant companies and a distribution system that for CDs that currently is in shambles?
Yes.
Bill's question is, in this day of giant consolidated companies and CD distribution that requires mass sales, he wanted Marion in particular, I think, to talk about the jazz business and what you can do, you personally, but all of us can do to make a jazz a better business as well as such a great art.
Well, it certainly has to do with people's choice of what they buy, but I think unfortunately you don't, of course, except for NPR, you don't hear that much jazz on the radio. So people that are going to buy records are going to buy the things that they hear that are being plugged all the time. And I think it was Wynton Marsalis who called it an enforced trend.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
yes,
the stuff that's out there, people are being told, this is what you should buy. In other words, it could be changed if there was more jazz heard. Mm-hmm. And
just seems odd that in a world where you can get anything online, you can don't need to go to a great record store, though I urge you to do so if there's one in your community, where you can get anything online, it's what's plugged that gets sold.
Right, yes. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. It's marketing.
It's the marketing.
Yes,
it's all about marketing.
It's all about marketing.
It's all about the marketing.
Bottom line, bean counting, whatever you want to call it.
There was a push by the recording industry in the late 80s and then into the 90s where they were signing a lot of young jazz artists and they were calling them the young jazz lions, and they were putting some money behind it and they were getting sales results. And jazz was becoming very, very acceptable, and then the powers that be decided that it wasn't anymore. So, as you said, Wynton said, Marion, we're dictated to. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's what the society has turned into. And I think as long as there's dictation, jazz is going to suffer, because jazz is a music that makes you think and makes you want to be an individual.
We're in Studio 4A today with jazz greats Marion McPartlin, Nancy Wilson. You just heard from Dede Bridgewater. You can continue this conversation online. Go to npr.org, click on the discussion section, then scroll down to Talk of the Nation. When we get back after a short break, Marion McPartlin takes her seat at the piano. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today, we're in Studio 4A with Marion McPartlin, Nancy Wilson, and Dede Bridgewater, jazz greats and hosts of three of NPR's most popular jazz programs. Marion McPartlin is at the piano, and what are you going to play for us?
I thought I'd do a tune by Anne Ronell. I guess I'm sort of partial to women composers, and she wrote a tune, or she wrote many, but I think this is probably her best known tune, Willow Weep for Me. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Partland performing Willow Weep for Me here in Studio 4A. Marion, we were talking about awards earlier, and I was reading through all of your bios, getting ready for this program, and one that you received that I was wondering if you could talk about for a second, the Gracie Allen Award. What a great award to get.
Well, the Gracie Allen Award is an award given only to women in the arts or in the, you know, in radio and television.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very thrilled, of course.
What a great association
to receive that award. Mm-hmm. I guess I was also delighted that Piano Jazz won the Peabody.
Well, there's that one too.
While I'm boasting about things.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a show coming up with Willie Nelson?
Yes. On the 12th of February, we're having Willie Nelson. And it's funny because he evidently liked the way we played together on the show. And he invited me to sit in with his group. So he's appearing at Irving Plaza next week, and I'm actually going to go over there and sit in.
That's great.
Can you believe
that?
Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, Willie plays a lot of jazz things. Yeah. He plays a lot of old standards, and some of his tunes are great, like Crazy. It's a wonderful tune.
Did you get to play that with him?
Yes, and we did another one I like, The Heart of a Clown, and we had bass and guitar, so the thing really swung, you know. We just had a ball.
I should point out that Dede Bridgewater, Nancy Wilson, Marion New Partland were all here in Washington for an event last night at the Kennedy Center, the 80th birthday tribute to Billy Taylor, and that performance is going to be edited and broadcast, I believe, on many NPR member stations.
Oh, great.
President's
yes.
Day, Tim? I think so. President's Day is when I think it's going to become available. We're looking for Tim Owens, the producer.
He's in the booth.
He's in the booth. Mm-hmm. Is he giving me a thumbs up on President's Day?
I
hope so. And I hope I'm not wrong. Let's see if we can get one more quick call in. And this is in Miami, Barbara. Barbara, are you there?
Yes, hello?
Yes, we just have a short amount of time because we wanted to get one more number in. So if you ask a quick question.
I sure do. I'm a huge jazz fan, love Nancy, Dee Dee. I saw you on the jazz cruise recently. I do have a question, though. Who's up and coming?
Who's up and coming?
Looking for in the record store.
All right, who is up and coming and in less than a minute? Nancy Wilson, who do you like?
That's a good question. I don't know who's up and coming. As I said before, we don't get the exposure, so I don't get to hear who's doing what.
Jane Monheit.
Jane, yes.
Well, yeah, there's Jane Monheit. Jane has a lot of push behind her. There's, I'm starting to get, this is Dede Bridgewater, I'm starting to get a lot of CDs, so I'm starting to listen. A singer to listen for, out for, is Renee Marie.
Okay.
She's wonderful. Then there is Karen Allison, who's actually up for a Grammy Award this year.
She's wonderful.
She's very nice. I just met a wonderful singer who teaches in California at USC. Tierney Sutton has a fabulous voice.
That's a great question, Barbara. Thanks very much for calling.
There's some piano players, too.
Yeah, we need to hear. Well,
yes,
we would like to know. Yes,
well,
yes.
We need to say that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We just have about 5.5 minutes left in the show, and these great ladies and wonderful guests have been kind enough to agree to play us out, if you will. They're going to join in.
Play us out.
Yeah. Well. This will be Marion McPartland at the piano on vocals, Dede Bridgewater and Nancy Wilson, and they're deciding which ear to put their headphones on.
No, we were just trying to remember what we were singing.
See, I went into that black hole again. I can't remember the lyrics. What's it start with?
What a day this has been.
Well, thank you. Okay. Jeez. Okay.
Count it off, Nancy.
Okay.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love.
There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. I'd swear that I'm falling in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I'd swear that I'm falling. Good God, baby, I'm falling. It's almost like being in love. What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. I've got a smile on my face for the whole human race. It's almost, almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when those bells start to peal, I could swear I was falling. It's almost like falling, almost like being in love.
Our thanks to jazz greats and NPR radio hosts Marion McPartland, Nancy Wilson, and Dee Dee Bridgewater. They joined us today in Studio 4A, and Billy Taylor, if you're listening, hope you get better. Our thanks also to engineers Kevin Waite, Neil Tivolt, Andrew Reynolds. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.